The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
Consider owning a Cruise Planners American Express travel franchise. A low-cost, turnkey opportunity. Cruise Planners provides everything you need to grow your business right from the start. No experience is necessary. Visit cruiseplannersfranchise.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker. Check out our cruise updates at cruiseradio.net.
What a great time at Cruise Shipping Miami we had last week.
Yeah, it was very good. Exhausting, but good.
A lot of fun and so many interviews. In fact, too many interviews. We're actually going to run some that we couldn't get to last week.
And for the rest of the year as well.
Right. In case of emergency, break glass from Cruise Shipping Miami. Adam Coulter, he's the UK editor of Cruise Critic. We'll talk to him about Titanic 2, get his take on it.
Yeah, because it's a lot different than Dan Askins. Dan was like against it. This guy's all for it. Also joining us, it's everybody's favorite maritime lawyer, Jim Walker from CruiseLawNews.com. He'll weigh in on the proposed Cruise Passenger Bill of Rights.
But first, Stuart Shearer on the Cruise Guy is here. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Doug.
Hey, man.
Out of the Carnival camp, Carnival Sunshine refurbishment delayed. And it's going to be a couple of months until we see Carnival Triumph, yes?
Yeah, that's the news today. They are delaying the return of Carnival Triumph until June, and June 3rd, and then which is an additional 10 sailings, so that's a total of, I guess, 24 sailings. And Carnival Sunshine, or Carnival Destiny, which is going into the telephone booth and will reemerge as Carnival Sunshine, is now delayed a month until May 5th. And the reason for the delays is so that Carnival can make immediate modifications to the ship to prevent future problems from occurring. So they've already assessed what happened with Carnival Triumph, and since Carnival Sunshine was already going to be in the garage, mm-hmm. that they might as well make those adjustments to the redundancy systems right then and there, so this way when the ship comes out of dry dock and reemerges as Carnival Sunshine, she has all of the modifications and safety systems that were being implemented on Carnival Triumph.
Very well. A dock shortage causes Princess to cancel a Bermuda sailing. Now, is that just there was no space at the dock, or was the dock under construction?
Well, the pier in Bermuda is under construction. So their April 29th sailing on Emerald Princess was actually, they had to cancel it because it's too big a ship really for tendering. They really don't like tendering with a ship of that size. It is a 113,000-ton ship, and it's a tight enough squeeze as it is. So instead of doing what Oceania and MSC are doing, which is tendering, they just wound up canceling the stop there in Bermuda altogether.
Eight Royal Caribbean ships in Europe in 2014. Are there enough passengers to go around?
There absolutely are, and it's interesting how Royal Caribbean continues to tweak their European deployments, because back in 2012, there were 11 ships. 2013, there were 9. And so 2012, we're going to see 8 ships out there plying the European waters. And that seems to be a good number. And, well, where are these other ships going? Well, they're being redeployed to different areas of the world, including Australia and Asia. As the European economies continue to be, show instability, It's certainly a smart move for Royal Caribbean to limit their vulnerabilities to soft bookings and or world events in the region.
How many ships do they have now?
What do you mean?
How many ships does Royal Caribbean have?
Oh, right now Royal Caribbean has 12 ships, and then in 2000 right now, Royal Caribbean has 22 ships, and of course, next year in 2014, they will be debuting Quantum of the Seas, so that will make it 23 ships.
Catching up with Carnival.
They'll essentially be caught up to Carnival. They'll both have 23 ships next year.
I found this story interesting. Cruise calls to Grand Turk have been temporarily suspended. What happened?
Well, it turns out that there's been some norovirus issues. So a lot of passengers were coming back on the ships, and within several hours, they were essentially having norovirus-like symptoms. So while Grand Turk tries to discover the source of the problem, Carnival has opted to waive current calls for an indefinite period until they can resolve the situation. The last thing we need is more norovirus being onboard cruise ships.
Is that going to be an extra sea day for people, or are they going to put it somewhere else?
Well, right now they are going to be extra sea days, but they could surprise you with a port of call somewhere else. But I think it's going to be very, very temporary.
Cunard Line loosens their dress code. They've always been known to be a very formal type line. What do you think about this?
Well, look, they certainly do provide an experience where people do like to dress up, as they say, to the nines. But how many nights do you need to wear formal outfits? So in keeping in concert with current trends, they are allowing people to wear, let's say sports jackets without ties on certain nights, because that's what many of their passengers are requesting. So the only move to make the experience more enjoyable by more people, it's always a plus.
Norwegian Breakaway had their conveyance last week. How did that go, and what's next for her?
Well, the conveyance is actually one of the neatest experiences. So, I did it on Celebrity Eclipse a few years ago. And it is quite thrilling being on such a large ship and being maybe 80 people on board the ship. And the ship is in a very incomplete state. So, the ship began its conveyance. So it left the shipyard. It was going backwards up the river. And it takes, it takes about 24 hours to go about 25 miles. I mean, the ship at 1,063 feet long and 130 feet wide, in some places they only had inches on either side of the ship. And below the ship, at the keel, it was very narrow. And I know it actually they had a delay because the water level in the river was not high enough to allow the conveyance. So it's a very exciting experience with the Germans lining the River Ems up and down. But it takes, by morning, the next morning they were there. And the ship was going to Bremerhaven in the northern part of Germany. There she'll be, completed, do her sea trials, and then begin her way over to the U.S.
We have a listener question from Facebook. It says, "Hey, guys, is there any word on what's going on with the new cruise terminal in Charleston, South Carolina?"
Well, they continue to have their discussions over whether or not they want to build it. There's certainly a very vocal opposition to it. It's a lot of money, and when you don't know how long, ports like Charleston, Jacksonville, these are ports that are not considered first tier. They are they're unstable as far as how long will it last. We know what happened with Mobile, Philadelphia, Norfolk, Virginia, San Diego. These are all communities that spent money building piers, and essentially right now they are empty or being very underutilized. And the cruise lines will sign contracts with these types of ports for only a couple of years, and when that contract is up, they're up and they're done. So it is quite an investment. And, Carnival is the only cruise line that is sailing regularly out of Charleston. So, is it really worth the investment to put that kind of money into a permanent terminal if your future, your long-term future, is in question? So, at this point, they have not come to a decision, as far as we know. And it'll be interesting to see what transpires in the next few months.
All right. Thank you, Stuart.
All right.
Cruise Radio News, now trending at cruiseradio.net.
Everybody has a story, and cruise planners, American Express Travel, loves to hear them. Beth Edwards was a busy mom who found a way to combine her love of travel with more family time.
I was really looking for a business that would allow me to continue traveling because I love to travel, and then also allow me some time to stay home with my children, with my family a little bit more. And my husband and I did some research and chose Cruise Planners because we just couldn't stop hearing enough good things about it, and really trusted the American Express brand, and really having a great time so far. Looking forward to learning and seeing more.
So, what's your story? Discover the fun, flexible, home-based franchise that's been voted number one in travel by Entrepreneur Magazine for 10 years in a row. Visit cruiseplannersfranchise.com or call 888-582-2150. For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon. It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being, and they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. TripInsurance.com.
Stream us worldwide on our free iPhone app. Just search Cruise Radio Live in your app store.
Happy to have with us Adam Coulter, who is the UK editor of Cruise Critic. Welcome to Cruise Radio.
Hey, good to be here.
Now, we talked to your colleague, Dan Askin, a week or so ago, regarding Titanic 2 and Clive Palmer's endeavor. Mm. Billionaire Clive Palmer.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
You know, we were talking about, he's a, you know, as most billionaires with way too much money can be, perhaps eccentric a little bit, or...
Well, I mean, I would use the expression, he's larger than life.
Yeah.
I went to this press conference in London where he was talking all about his dream, his vision. And he just came across as a guy with, he's made a lot of money. He's got quite a lot of time on his hands now because these businesses tend to run themselves. And he got talking to his wife and he was trying to think of some new project to get involved in. And, you know, why not when you've got a couple of billion spare?
Right.
Let's build Titanic again, right?
Well, it's the big question is, first of all, is it a hoax? That's a lot of talk. And there's some red flags that are going up, I guess, with the logistics of putting something like this together. Do you, in your opinion, think this is actually going to happen? And if it does, will it last?
Well, those are both really good questions and really good points, because I think a lot of people do understandably think this is a hoax. But my question would be, but to what end? You know, what's he trying to get out of it? Is it publicity for another one of his companies? Now, after having spoken to him and seen him at this event, I think that he's going to do it. And I'll tell you simply why he's going to do it, because he can. Now, it's not at the stage yet where anything has been signed, so nothing's actually started to be built. But there's a memorandum of understanding. He works already closely with the Chinese shipyard to build his other ships, which are, you know, regular container ships. So I would say that on the balance of probabilities, it will be built. Now, your other part of your question, will it last? Well, I'm more doubtful on that. I mean, how many times do people want to take this transatlantic cruise, dress up like they're in the movie Titanic,
right?
And walk around on deck and be kings of the world? I don't know if the ship will actually last. I mean, the other thing actually that is interesting is that when it's in port, he said that people will be able to come on. So it'll become like a visitor attraction.
Yeah.
And I would say ultimately that's probably what it's destined to be. I cannot see that it would be financially viable to continue running it across the Atlantic. I think it'll probably wind up either in New York or Southampton, or maybe even back in China where it's being built, so people come visit it. And I don't know if you knew also that he's going to be fixing a TV camera just below the bow of the ship so you can stand on there with your loved one, pretend to be Jack and Rose, and have your picture taken for posterity.
Right, just like they did on the original Titanic.
That's right, exactly.
Oh, wait, no, that was the movie.
That was the movie. Well, I mean, that's the other thing. I think, bless him, apparently he said that the way it came about, he was talking to his Chinese colleagues, and when they were decided to build these big new container ships, and he said, well, look, how do you get into the cruise market in China? How do I make a real splash? And they said, well, why didn't you build Titanic 2? So he said, well, that's a great idea. Went back, spoke to his wife. She said, why not? then he watched the movie. Now, what's now, and he fell in love with it, and is the first to admit it. Now, what is also interesting is that at the press conference, he seemed to be mixing up the movie with the real thing. So it was all about Jack and Rose. It was all about doing Irish jigs in third class, which by the way, is the class he says he's going to travel in because he says it's more fun, and all this sort of stuff. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
To me, it just screams theme cruise and nothing more than that. You know, I mean,
I think you could be right. I think you could put it down as the ultimate theme cruise. But as with all these theme cruises, once you've done it once, well, maybe twice.
Are there enough Titanic fans to keep this thing going?
Well, I mean, the other statistic, which we can't verify, and I think Dan said this as well when you interviewed him, is that apparently 40,000 people have registered an interest, and this is the really interesting one. 16 people have apparently said they will pay $1 million for that maiden cruise. But if you go on the website, you can't find a booking page. There's no way of verifying if 40,000 people have rung, and let alone whether 16 have said they're going to book a cabin for $1 million. So, you know, who knows? It could all be pie in the sky. But I tell you what, it makes a very interesting story, the whole thing.
Well, thanks for your take on it. And nice to see you and meet you here at Cruise Shipping Miami 2013. Adam Coulter, UK editor, cruise critic. Thanks, man.
Thank you very much indeed. Great to meet you, Matt. Take
right.
care.
Cheers, mate. Right.
This is Cruise Radio.
New York Senator Charles Schumer is calling on the cruise ship industry to adopt a Bill of Rights to guarantee passengers certain protections while aboard their ships. Here to talk about the passengers' Bill of Rights is Maritime Attorney Jim Walker. Welcome back, Jim.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Doug, for having me.
Nice to talk to you, barrister.
Great to be back.
Little known fact about Jim Walker, before he was a barrister, he was a barista. First off, Jim, do other transportation sectors like the airlines have a Bill of Rights for passengers?
Yes, they do, Matt. There's an airline passenger Bill of Rights, which the same senator, Senator Schumer of New York, was instrumental in having passed. And that arose when you had a lot of passengers, you know, stuck on the tarmac, and they weren't flying, and they were hot and bothered and so forth. And so this Bill of Rights provides for some remedies when you kind of stick people on airplanes too long.
What do these cruise Bill of Rights look like, and are they legit?
Well, you know, if there's a Bill of Rights passed, it's essentially a piece of paper. It's, you know, what Schumer is asking, he's asking the cruise lines to agree to something, essentially just to promise to do certain things, to refund money if a cruise is canceled due to mechanical failures, to have a backup generator and so forth. And in most of the recommendations, the cruise lines have actually already essentially agreed to that, or there are IMO regulations which require it. They're legitimate and can be legally enforced only if they are actually codified into law, that is, that they are made part of our federal legislation.
They sound very reasonable. There's six of them. I'll just read them right here. Number one, the right to disembark a docked ship if basic provisions cannot adequately be provided on board. Number two, the right to a full refund for a trip that is abruptly canceled due to a mechanical failure. Number three, the right to full-time onboard professional medical attention in the event of a major health crisis. Number four, the right to real-time information updates as to any adjustments in the travel plan of the ship in the event of a mechanical failure or emergency. Number five, the right to a ship crew that is properly trained in emergency and evacuation procedures. And number six, the right to backup power in case of a generator failure. They all sound reasonable.
Well, they're reasonable, but, you know, putting these into effect is going to be difficult. One, I think the cruise lines responsibly will be, look, we're already, have adequate oversight. We're required to comply with the International Maritime Organizations, and we have to comply with the flag state, and we have to comply with the Coast Guard. So why do we need all these other requirements? I think that's what you're going to hear. Now, some of the things sound reasonable, but let's just take the first one you read, the right to disembark a docked ship.
Right.
Well,
okay.
I mean, so it's 5 miles out, it's 10 miles out, or like the Triumph, it's 150 miles out in the Gulf of Mexico.
But they're saying docked ship.
Right, but I mean, a ship, you know, so the cruise lines are already doing that, aren't they? Isn't that what happened with the Dream?
Yeah.
The ship was there. They got them off quickly. They flew them back. Yeah. What more do they really want? So I think that some of these are good ideas, but it's going to be hard to implement them.
Isn't that just a matter of just making it official, though?
Well, it does. But take, for example, the proposed Bill of Rights pertaining to medical treatment. If you read the passenger ticket, the cruise lines have already made it clear that the doctors are not their employees, but are independent contractors, and they're not responsible for them, even if they commit malpractice. So you're never going to get the cruise lines to agree to do something that they're not required to do and that they expressly deny any responsibility for.
With the cruise ships and cruise lines being registered in other countries, is this going to be hard for them to adopt?
Well, we went through a number of years where we convinced Congress. I say we. I do a lot of work for a nonprofit organization, the International Cruise Victims, where we had the Cruise Vessel Safety and Security Act. Remember that? Passed.
Yeah.
And that was passed even though Carnival is incorporated in Panama and Royal Caribbean is incorporated in Liberia and they're all flying foreign flags of convenience. Congress still took steps to pass into law certain legislation to have some regulation over the cruise line. So I don't think that by itself is going to stop this from being passed. I think what's going to happen is you're going to have another protracted battle over the course of several years where certain sides are fighting against one another to have no further legislation or oversight over the cruise lines.
Do you think it'll be a fight for the Cruise Lines International Association and International Maritime Organization to adopt this?
I think it will be. I think that the IMO already has all types of proposed recommendations and regulations that should apply. The backup generator was something the IMO had already thought about and the cruise lines are supposed to be requiring to comply with many, many years ago. So I don't think that you're going to see a lot of interest in having new regulations being adopted by the IMO, at least not these types that are being proposed.
Very well. Thank you, Counselor.
Okay, thanks.
Maritime Attorney Jim Walker, we appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Matt. Thanks, Doug.
All right, that's going to do it. Don't forget, we have an app free for the iPhone users, only 99 cents for Droid users.
Also, don't forget to connect with us online. We have a bunch of buttons on our website for our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all there at cruiseradio.net.
From the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
This is Cruise Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cruise Radio. For information on how your company can reach over 100,000 travel enthusiasts a week, email sales@cruiseradio.net. Find Cruise Radio on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search Cruise Radio. I'm your announcer.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.